You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. All right. Hello, hello. It's the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am here with Lindsay Day, founder of Crown Magazine. Hello. Very excited to have you on. And we met pretty recently, like what, a few months ago?
Yeah, something like that. Before your trip.
Yes, before my trip to Turkey, which it's actually really interesting. I didn't realize that women in Turkey have like Afro-textured hair. A lot of them do. A lot of them straighten it and dye it blonde because it's always that thing like you want what you can't have. But
wow.
I was surprised by the like number of afros I saw there.
Oh my gosh, that's
isn't
really
that
cool.
Weird?
I mean, I guess it shouldn't be that surprising because we're everywhere. But
I know, no, but like but they had like white, like they were white. I guess Turkish people are considered white, yeah, and
right.
They had like really kinky textured hair.
Well, I don't know enough history, but I feel
yeah.
like you know
we're mixed
in there.
We're mixed in everywhere. So you launched Crown how many years ago?
We launched with a zine at, a music festival.
Okay.
Almost 2 years ago.
Oh, amazing.
And so we had our first zine that we went out and we're like, hey guys, we're Crown.
Yes.
You know, we, used that to build up our Instagram following and
okay.
our email list so
okay.
that we could kind of keep in touch and really learn even more our reader and
yes.
our, you know, who was going to be our customer.
Yes.
And we used it to drive pre-sales and then launched our first issue last year.
Oh, amazing. And Crown is like a natural hair. It's a for me, it's a lifestyle magazine
Yay.
Where the women happen to have natural hair. I
right.
don't see it as like a natural hair magazine, but
yeah,
how would you
like,
describe it?
It's positioned around hair.
Mm-hmm.
We all have hair, or if we don't, we have a relationship to
yes.
it in some way.
Yes.
You know, if we wear weaves, we got hair underneath that we care for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things, you know, there's a million statistics that talk about how we over-index in terms of beauty and all
yep.
of those things. So, you know, it just seemed like a natural touch point. It's something that, you know, you share hair care tips and things with
yes.
your friends and
yes.
your family. But then it also is politicized, whether we
mm-hmm.
want it to be or not.
Yep.
And so we thought it would be the perfect starting point for a cultural, lifestyle-driven, just a conversation starter and something premium that we can flip through and share with
yes.
our friends and have deep conversations,
yes.
but not have it be so heavy all the time.
Absolutely.
It's heavy out there.
Oh, my God, yes. It's definitely a heavy
yeah.
time. I think, though, to have something physical, like I grew up reading magazines, collecting magazines. I love print. Like
mm-hmm.
I love print magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything's
mm-hmm.
so digital. And then when you get something like Crown in your hands and you flip through it, you're like, oh, I've been so starved for this experience
yeah.
of flipping through like a beautiful magazine with like image after image.
Right. I definitely felt starved my whole life. Like
yeah.
flipping through things. I always loved magazines too.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, I had a neighbor that lived next door who had like left a huge stack of magazines out front and in the recycling bins back
yeah.
in the days they had those. And I like, I just remember pulling them all in like YN and Teen Vogue
yes,
and
yes.
17 and all of
oh
these
my
different
God, yep.
things. And, you know, I enjoyed them for sure. And I always remember seeing Julia Roberts over and over and over, like, every year.
Because yeah.
she would put out, like, years worth.
Yes.
And Julia was in everything. I
yes.
love her.
Yes.
But that being said, I think you almost, it becomes normal to flip through things and not see anything that really represents
looks
you.
Like
or
you.
Tips
yep.
that are for your skin type or
mm-hmm.
tone or, you know, obviously hair type and texture. Or they're giving you tips and it's like obviously not her natural hair, but they're acting like it
like
is.
They pretend like
and
it is.
And it's like,
yeah.
You know, it's just all of those things. And so we thought it would be particularly just interesting, like, you know, the majority of the women in our magazine, it is their actual natural hair. Like, we're definitely not anti-weave. Like,
right,
we all have
right,
dress up.
Yes.
We all, you know, protective styles.
Yes,
all of these
yes.
things are part of the culture.
Yes.
So we also, that's part of it, too. We didn't want to be, like, the team natural. Like,
yes.
Again, it's more lifestyle than, like, you have to live this way or you're not in crowd.
Yes.
You know, like
there
that's strange
to me.
There is
such a strange, divisive, and I was really shocked when I encountered it when I first went natural, all of this like team natural, like these natural commandments mm-hmm. of like what is and isn't natural and what's the right way to be natural.
Right.
And some people felt like even if you were fully natural and you never did protective styles and you never added hair, but you flat ironed or like blew out your hair, that you weren't natural. And I'm
right.
like, what?
Right. That, I'm just like, I'm not the natural police.
Yeah,
I don't think
I know.
Anyone
I know.
Wants to be the natural
I know.
Police. Well, maybe I guess some people do. But I just think it's again, bigger than hair.
Yes.
We created this to create a crown to address, you know, really the whole Black woman
mm-hmm.
and to celebrate Black women.
Yes.
And
that's why the name is perfect also. Like, I love the name Crown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're royal.
So. Yes.
it's only fitting.
I love that. And another thing that I really appreciate is a lot of the natural hair aesthetic that I've seen is very like hippie granola, like, or it's like Mother Africa, like very like, you know, tribal
right.
prints and
like
turbans.
Empress.
And yeah, and it's like, okay.
And
like,
it's like, I can't.
What about just like a fly style? And like, I just think that like my twist out looks great and
right.
I'm a modern woman, not like living in the woods somewhere, you know, like I like that it's grounded in reality. Cause for so long, the images that I saw of women with natural hair were like, they just felt very specific to a certain type of woman that I didn't identify with.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's very interesting. I mean, I think even the idea of quote natural hair is like a funny, like I like that you know, Afro hair, a lot of times
yeah.
in Europe, that's
yeah.
what they call it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of more accurate or textured hair.
Textured
or whatever.
Hair, yeah.
But I don't know, natural, again, I feel like it can be that like divisive, like, I don't know. Like I feel like we use it because it's the kind of what everyone kind of understands at this
right.
point.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, what is natural? Like, I don't use 100% natural products on
right.
my whole body.
You
I know
guess,
what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not vegan.
Yes. Oh, my like, gosh. Yeah. That's the other side
I don't
of
know.
It. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think it's cool that there's, and we were talking about this before,
mm-hmm.
just, like, that there's this, you know, kind of people who go on this, quote, natural hair journey.
Yeah.
You do start to question what's in your products
yeah.
and, like, what's going into your skin. What are you eating? And I think that's definitely positive.
Oh my gosh, definitely. That's when I kind of had my awakening.
Right.
So talk to me about your natural hair journey. And for me, I guess I should qualify. When I say natural hair, I just mean like no relaxer. That's literally it. So have you been natural your whole life? Like have you always worn your hair as it grew out of your head?
I definitely had a relaxer moment. I think in like maybe junior high, maybe
okay.
it was high school.
Okay.
Because I don't know. It was always the coming of age moment was getting your hair not even relaxed, but getting it
straightened. Yeah.
And I just remember always wanting to like straighten my hair
yeah.
and like
yeah.
I just felt like a grown woman or something
exactly.
when I had the hair flowing.
Yes.
And you know, I haven't straightened in a minute.
Yeah.
But I'm not like against it. It
right.
just it's actually funny. It feels less
boring.
Like me now.
Yeah.
Like I straightened my hair for probably a good decade straight. Like
oh,
all
wow.
through college, like all through high school.
Yeah.
You would not find me with any kind of a curl. But I think it was, you know, there's a lot of pressures that come when dealing with hair as a
mm-hmm.
Black woman. Whatever shade you are, whatever hair texture
yeah.
you are, there's like a definitely different, could be different sets of pressures.
Yes.
But I think they're from the same force.
Yeah.
You know? And so I felt like, one, there weren't really products. So it was like straightening
oh my gosh,
it was
yeah.
just easy.
Yeah.
Put a little oil on
exactly.
it and go,
exactly.
you know?
Exactly.
Like once you have it straightened, you could just throw in a ponytail or whatever I kind of
right.
did. So it was just kind of the norm. I felt like all Black girls just straightened your hair. So
or got
like,
braids or
right.
just did something so you didn't have to deal with
something
it. Yeah.
To make it more, quote, manageable.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then once, I mean, now you, like, there was a time where you couldn't find natural hair products in mm-hmm. Target. And now there's so many you don't even know how to pick.
Exactly.
You know?
I know.
So that transition definitely was part of me being like, okay, maybe I'll try this curly yeah. hair thing.
Yes.
You know?
And where did you grow up? Like, where were you for high school?
High school, I was in Sacramento. That's where I was
Sacramento.
Born and raised.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I went to LA after that for college.
Okay. So I'm going to focus on high school because I feel like those are very, like, kind of defining years in terms of, like, figuring out your beauty. I mean, you make a lot of mistakes in
oh,
high
school.
Oh,
gosh. Like, the bangs, which were the reason for the relaxer.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Why did you do it?
You
don't do
bangs.
It.
I know. I feel like everyone has bangs at some point that they end up growing out. But
okay.
Amelia, who is one of my guests, she's from Sacramento, and she went to a super diverse, like, she said that there was no, like, it was majority minority at the high school she went to in Sacramento, all different types of people. Did you grow up in a very, like, racially diverse school? Did you feel like there were girls that looked like you around?
Yeah, I feel like my elementary school experience was very diverse, and I ended up kind of going to a lot of different places. Like, I was in a Christian school at first, and then kind of, you know, some financial reasons, but my mom was really big on education, and she, I think at that time we were pretty young, and she didn't want to put us in public school.
Mm-hmm.
And so she homeschooled us for like 2.5 years.
Okay.
So that was a really interesting experience. Just in general.
Yeah.
More on that.
What is it like having your mom as a teacher?
It was actually pretty amazing. I'd have to say, I think.
Kudos to her. Like,
I know.
I can't even imagine.
Well, when I went back to school, like, she was very involved.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, like, requesting extra work from me because I'd be done too fast. You know, so I think the one-on-one and just the relationship building with her, and, like, she was always hustling. So I think, you know, she was a salesperson, and I would be at, you know, in the office where she's, like, taking a meeting, I'd be in there doing, me and my brother doing homework. So I feel like in a lot of ways it shapes how I live life now.
Yeah.
Like, I
seeing that example,
seeing the example
of having that drive and ambition.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, my dad always worked, but she would always have, like, something. She definitely was focused on raising us, but there would always be, like,
a side hustle. That's awesome.
Side hustle.
That's awesome.
She was a side hustle queen. You know, high school, myself and now my still best friend, like, we became best friends in high school. We're the only two black girls in our class.
What? And how many people were in the class?
It was a small school, so it was only like 115 or something like
that. That's to be two out of 115 is insane.
It was insane.
I thought I had it bad. I was like, there was like four out of like 50. And I thought that was like nothing.
I mean, that's probably about the same,
like,
ratio. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, you were literally like 2% of the.
Yeah.
So you and the one other black girl and did, wow. So that must have definitely shaped, or at least you probably heard a lot of unsolicited opinions about black hair and annoying questions about it. And
many annoying questions, things being called ghetto all the time.
Yeah. It used to be acceptable.
Related, you know?
I remember in high school people saying the term ghetto, and it was like an accepted.
I was always rolling my eyes. But I think I just was always, I've realized about myself, I live in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, in junior high, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to high school and do X, Y, Z. Or,
okay.
You know, even
yeah.
in sixth grade, I remember being, like, knowing who the teachers were in the junior high and, like, having,
okay.
I don't know.
Always future-focused.
Yeah, like, I was very much like, this does not define me.
Yeah.
This experience, like, I was very frustrated. But having, Ngozi is my best friend's name, having her and us being able to support each other through that was everything. So just the sisterhood. It was like, I literally remember walking into orientation and seeing her, and we just, like, looked at each other with, like, a look. And you never know. Sometimes it goes south.
I know.
It was like, we just clicked.
Immediately. Yeah.
And, you know, we just felt very underestimated, I think, the whole time. And then when we went off to college, and it's like, you know, the acceptance letters come and all the stuff, and people are like, oh, you're going there?
Oh my gosh.
You know, and being constantly, like, looked at as though you're less than.
Of course. And for me, the biggest thing that I know is whispered about sometimes unsuccessfully behind my back, because I would hear this, is, oh, well, you got into Stanford, but of course, like, they need diversity, so. And it's
right.
like, oh, okay, let's pretend, like, I haven't been getting straight A's, and I didn't, like
my whole life.
Kill myself for the SATs, and, like, you know.
Right.
So, and of course, now Trump is trying to nix affirmative action, which is just so upsetting. I can't even.
I really can't.
Let's not bring the podcast down.
I know.
Well, let's not bring it down, because there's just,
Yeah, but
it's
again,
rough.
I think all of those experiences were very much you know, they're just defining moments of why sisterhood is so important to mm-hmm. me, and like true sisterhood, because I've had such wonderful people in my life who, honestly, if it was just me in high school,
yeah,
I don't know if I would have gotten through it in the same
interesting.
Way. You know, like, I'm a strong person, but it was just so frustrating. Like, there were just these moments of, like, not to, again, take it to a negative place, but we all face it in various mm-hmm. ways. But I think the difference was in high school not knowing. So you're like, oh, maybe I'm overreacting. Or, you know, when you're coming
yeah.
into yourself,
yeah.
you don't understand. You just want to see the best.
Yes.
And you're not always as honest. And these days I'm like, all
right. Right.
I know what it is.
Right. And you don't
I'm
going to
channel this energy into something that I believe is
yeah.
positive and
yeah.
uplifting and empowering beyond like a Black Girl Magic hashtag and moving on. But like
yeah.
empowering in a way that it's information, it's
yes.
representation, it's actually connecting you to brands that are Black owned.
Yes. It's
connecting you to spaces that are, you know, Black focus that you can feel at peace.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's like, it's very hard to find.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe here in New York or certain places, it's a little bit easier. But
yeah,
it can be really hard to find your tribe.
Your tribe. It's really interesting hearing you talk because it's sort of like I'm connecting the dots between you stealing that stuff, not stealing, taking that stack of magazines in the recycling bin,
yeah.
right? And then, you know, developing a love for magazines, but not feeling like there was that representation. And then, as you said, like why you value sisterhood so much because of mm. the experience with your best friend that became like your only, you know, like true, the person probably that you could talk to about everything
right.
and that you could relate to. It like all had to happen for Crown to be created in a way.
Right. No, it's
yeah.
true. Like when you ask, you know, how long
yeah.
have you been working on Crown?
It's like my whole life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, from my career in the music industry, which is where I first started
yeah.
out, to, you know, working in women's empowerment and starting my own platform, freelancing,
yeah.
like all
mm-hmm.
of these little pieces along the way,
yeah.
I think just really either frustrated me
yeah.
and like
yeah.
I had to channel
yeah.
it somewhere
yeah.
or it was a challenge to do better, you
yes.
know? And I think, you know, when you watch something like a Selma, you realize our leaders were our age. You know?
I know. It's so true.
You know, they
it's
weren't
so true.
60-year-old men and women. They were
right.
in their 30s, and they believed, and they
That's
stood
so
up
true.
For things,
yeah.
You know?
You don't
and
think
so.
About that. I mean, until you said that, it's not something that I really think about.
Right.
And I would love to know your thoughts on this, because I think that in the natural hair community, people are very vocal about, and I'm not 100% sure on all the exact hair types, but like 4C, 4B,
mm-hmm.
kinkier type textured hair. And I think that people that assume that have your textured hair, like kind of looser curls,
mm-hmm.
that like you guys have it easy. You have quote unquote good hair.
Oh,
and
that.
Like,
Those
I know
so
it's horrible. I mean, it's horrible,
yeah.
but I'm sure people look at you and maybe even like dismiss your hair journey as like, oh, well, you've got like nice loose curls. Like, what do you have to worry about? It's
yeah.
almost like I at least feel like there is some sort of, there is a negative backlash to hearing stories from women that have a looser hair
mm-hmm.
texture, as if there's even like room to stratify. Like we're all going through the same thing, but do you feel any of that from people?
Funny enough, I feel like the most I've felt from it was my own internal like demons.
Interesting.
From like,
interesting.
You know, probably from childhood, from,
yeah.
you know, beauty shop experiences
mm-hmm.
of like, maybe getting attention, but not understanding what that attention meant.
Right.
Or like,
so
not
me,
wanting to feel separated from my sisters or my
yeah,
mother
who
or
had
my kinkier
hair.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I
tell
think,
me, tell me about the beauty shop experiences. Was it like that they would just see your hair and be like, oh, it's so pretty?
I don't know. It was just, I was always very shy and I'm
mm-hmm.
actually a natural introvert.
Okay.
So I'm not like someone who enjoys a lot of attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, and I also never understood why, like, I saw my, you know, people with kinkier hair textures than myself. And by the way, the 4C, all that stuff, like,
yeah.
I really
yeah.
don't enjoy that
yes.
because I feel like it's an actual grading system, which
exactly.
is like, I don't know, I find it to be a little bit, like, I understand.
It can be helpful for finding products
for finding
and
products.
Tutorials for people that have similar hair texture
yeah.
to you.
But I've seen, you know, other systems like that refer to it as kinky and coily and curly.
Right.
And I think they're, you know, texture-wise, there's so many similarities between, you know, between various textures that it's not so necessary to always break it down in such a way.
It's a little
And to be honest, I never can figure out what mine really is.
I know.
Every diagram is different.
Yeah, all the diagrams are different.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think for me, a big part of my hair journey was, you know, with my mom. And she has, you know, I don't know what texture, probably 4C, I would think. You know, higher fours, if you wanted to
call
it that.
So like a kinkier texture.
She has a kinkier texture. And so, you know, kind of going through our hair journeys together, she was clueless about my hair.
Right.
She was relaxed her hair. So just the rules of the game are so different. She's like taking more, like if it's raining, she's putting a, you know, something on her head. And then of course, you know, when I had straight hair, I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just interesting because there's dynamics, but there's definitely differences.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a mom who's very straight to the point, so she would be like, girl, I ain't got that wash and wear hair like you, you know. But and we had that relationship, but it was so cool for me to see her transition.
Okay, when did your mom transition?
She transitioned, it's probably been almost a decade now.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not quite that long. But she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, okay.
And so, thank God she caught it early. And
amazing.
But she did have a double mastectomy, and it was like, you know, very intense time for sure. She just finished all of her medications.
Oh, good.
I'm so happy. Like,
good. I'm so happy to
hear. Yeah. But for her, it was a lifestyle change,
mm-hmm.
kind of like we were talking about before. It was like she cut sugar out of her diet.
Yeah.
She was like, why am I putting relaxer in my hair?
Yeah.
She started
Take
running.
Anything toxic.
She did a marathon. And I think she was 60 or
61,
you know. And so for me, it really, like you said, it tied it back to the fact that, wow, this is bigger than just hair.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is, like, I just saw my mother change into a new person.
Yeah.
And become so much more healthy and so much more energetic and
aware.
Just aware. And she's, you know, happy. And I mean, not that she wasn't always happy.
No,
but it was just very cool to see. But then it also, I think, in a lot of ways raised the fact that there are differences. My hair, when I, quote, transitioned, it was kind of a little wavy, weird looking.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite, but it wasn't like I'm going to go somewhere and someone's going to say, you can't get a job, you know?
Right.
Which is reality. Like, my mother, when she first had her teeny weeny afro, she felt very... I don't want to use the word insecure about it, but there are inherent insecurities being
a
black woman in America
and
like being perceived and, you know, seeing yourself in a different light and having even family members make comments and the people who are closest to you aren't always the most supportive. And so
it's really interesting that you raise that, especially about if an Afro is professional, because I think some of it, at least that I've observed, comes from even within the black community, or it's self-internalized rather than non-black, like basically white people actually having a problem with it. Because at least in my experience, most, and this is just what they say outwardly, but most white people that comment on my hair, like, oh, I love your curly hair. I love your, I don't think that there's necessarily a problem with it, but I think that from like centuries of, you know, being denied opportunities, or the whole idea that the Harlem Renaissance and like the new Negro and why Madam C.J. Walker became the millionaire that she became was because it was this idea that assimilating into whiteness was your pathway to success. And I think that has kind of remained in our culture for some time. And I think it's starting to change, but I do think that a lot of it is,
well, it was.
Yeah.
Definitely
no, that
was.
Yeah, no, it
and
was.
And I mean, I still have family members on the older side who would never think about, like, they're looking at us like, okay, you could run around with your hair looking like that if you want to.
Right. And I don't even fault them for that because, it's just a totally different reality.
Yeah. I mean, it being closer to whiteness is closer to providing for your family.
Yes.
It's closer to
staying alive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to just exist is a phenomenon that we are just now kind of experiencing. So I think some of the biggest things, like to your question about the journey overall, is some of the biggest struggles that we deal with now. I mean, of course, there's still the outward expressions of hate that we're experiencing currently.
Yep.
But for people who maybe don't live in the South or don't see those outward expressions every single day in such an extreme way, there's that mental enslavement, in a sense.
Yes.
Of, like, I almost didn't start Crown Magazine.
Really?
Like, because I was just like, Like, what are they going to think if they see me? Or, like, you know, I've had people make comments like, but you're mixed. Or, you know, I could teach you something about natural hair. And
really?
Yeah, for sure.
And have those comments come from women of color?
They have. And I don't, it's not something that
it's hurtful.
I talk about. Speak on very frequently
because there's so much positivity and love, so you don't want to, but it's part of your story.
It's part of the story, but I think for me, I understand where these misconceptions come from or where the anger really comes from, and like the feeling of, you know, so often it seems as, I mean, it's true. Light-skinned girls with curly hair are so often splashed all over everything. And it's like, we, you know, it's just, as Black women, we feel like we don't have much of anything. And then when we get something, it's like taken away or appropriated.
Like the shame,
moisture
debacle, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, I understand wholeheartedly, you know. But I think when I went out that first day with that zine, I was like, oh my gosh, are people gonna, you know, I had so much insecurity around, like, what are people gonna think? Are they gonna look at me crazy? And honestly, the first day, no, everybody just met me with love.
Yeah.
It was just like love, excitement. I think they saw that it was something that was created out of love.
Yes, yes.
And so they received it in a particular way.
Yes.
And after that, it was like, you know what? My little insecurities, my hair issues, none of that really matters, and this is so much bigger than me or any of those things, that it's just like, okay, if somebody makes a random comment,
keep
and
moving.
I understand where it comes from, because we were enslaved as a people, and we've been psychologically psychologically damaged as a people, you know, including myself, like, you know, it's like, you just kind of have to just, for me, it's like, I don't have the time to sit and talk to some crazy white supremacist about understanding anything I'm doing.
Exactly.
But I do have the time for my people to just be like, girl, sis, you're beautiful.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
They might, I don't know. It's like, if somebody doesn't understand where it's coming from, hopefully they'll follow along.
Yes,
and see,
they're probably in a dark place themselves and projecting that.
Yeah.
I think, because I think that to question your credibility or even Blackness because you are of mixed race is just, I think it's coming from a place of like hurt. And I don't think it's, I don't know if it's, you're very forgiving to dismiss it as like, it's fine. You know, you meet it with love, but I think that as a community, we need to talk about it more openly so that people do understand that it is shameful to also criticize women who have like a looser curl, like, we don't have time within our small community to like criticize and tear each other down. Like we're all dealing with the same things to varying degrees and there are differences and those differences should be celebrated. But I have noticed a bit too much negativity towards women with like a looser curl texture, which just feels crazy. Like it feels crazy.
Yeah. I just agree with what you said in terms of if we have any sort of fighting chance to like, do away with any of this craziness, it does start with us.
It
like,
does, absolutely.
With anything. If I'm mad at somebody, it still starts with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
go
I have to figure out my situation or I'm giving power to that person.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's for sure true, but I understand because we're all dealing with this craziness.
It's true.
You
it's
know?
True. It's definitely true.
And it's just, I don't know. I wish there was a world, and this is why I work on Crown, that celebrated our diversity in a broader way. And
you'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, Solon logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Even, like, nobody can fully understand someone else's human
right.
experience.
Exactly.
But I can still love you, see
yes.
beauty in all of us.
Yes.
And really work. I've dedicated my, at least these last 2.5 years
yes.
to creating something that I think needs to be here.
Yes.
And that is beautiful and that we can feel proud of. It doesn't look like it's like from the 80s. You
oh
know
God.
What I mean?
Exactly. In terms of having images of people that looked like you growing up, like for me, I always talk about Naomi Campbell and Destiny's Child and
mm-hmm.
how
oh
like
gosh.
Revolutionary it was seeing them. Do you mm-hmm. have, what were your like first memories of seeing women who looked like you?
Man, definitely Destiny's
Child yeah.
was a moment for me.
Yeah.
Like I remember when that came out, I think it was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
Back to this freshman year.
Yes.
And I just remember seeing them and then writings on the wall and I was just like, I love them.
Yeah.
And I still love, obviously,
yeah.
Beyonce to this day. But, and I think it's just one of those things where you felt like you like knew her
yes.
before anything.
Yes.
And she
yes.
just makes everyone feel that way.
I
you
know. I don't trust people that don't like Beyonce.
I know, like
how
is
trust
it possible?
You. Yeah.
Who else? I don't know. I mean, sadly, there's a lot of tragic mulatto stories, so that was unfortunate.
Oh, gosh. Like who?
No, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm a nerd, so just school stuff.
Okay.
Or like, you know,
yeah.
projects. It was always, like, some strange something, and you're like, oh, gosh, don't
oh
look
gosh.
At me. Especially, like, in high school when
yeah.
it was all white.
Yeah.
If anytime something black came up, it would be
like,
everybody looks at me, you know.
Anyone
oh
have
gosh.
A comment on this? Anyone want to share
oh
their
gosh,
thoughts?
I won't even share the experiences there. Man, Destiny's Child was a
big one.
Big one
it's
sure.
a big one. Isn't it really exciting, though, to think about the young girl who is in a predominantly white high school who gets an issue of Crown? You know?
That makes me happy.
But even just that moment, like on a Saturday afternoon, like flipping through that magazine or putting a picture up on her wall, like
yeah.
just to have that representation is so powerful. And sometimes it's minimized, like, okay, you know, you're not represented in fashion magazines. It seems like a trivial thing, but
yeah.
it's huge.
But it is. It is huge. And two, I think it's like we have hair all over the place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like the subjects or the people in the photos,
yeah.
the hair is there, but sometimes the subject matter is just about an entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
or about wealth building in our community
yes.
or the fact that we spend so much money on beauty, but we own so little of the industry.
Right.
And so for me, the fact that you can flip through and see all of these people,
mm-hmm.
most of them are not celebs.
Right.
They're
regular
old people,
yeah.
you know, who have probably some really cool jobs or
yeah.
like have some
yeah.
really cool experiences. But one of the things that has really inspired my career is like, what if I had known of all of these like hundreds of entrepreneurs when I was a little girl? Like I probably would have
started sooner.
Yeah.
Or had
been
more,
an entrepreneur
yeah.
younger
yep.
or at least dabbled in it. And I think that's the thing that really excites me, especially
yeah.
with the youngins, is like just the fact that they could pick up their phone and go on Instagram
yes.
and like it, we tag everyone. So
yes.
like you could go follow those people
yes.
and meet them in real life.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
like it wouldn't
amazing.
Be that hard. Find where they're speaking or whatever
yes.
the case may be.
Yeah.
And I think that element of it is really exciting to me because it's beyond just the like, the tips or
right the model
the
in the magazine
or
it's
like
this
oh
is
my
a
gosh,
real person
who
yeah.
I'll never see in real life
yes
but like I think the power is again in sisterhood and being able to share our experiences
yes, yes.
so that this girl who's 12 or 13
yes.
when she's our age she's
mm-hmm.
already had like years and years of
yes priming
role models
yes
and
yes
you know
absolutely.
Of examples just And I mean, we're part in, like, this renaissance right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have Atlanta. We have Insecure.
Oh,
my gosh.
Insecure
is killing
me
right now.
Can we talk about Insecure? So,
oh, gosh.
I know.
Insecure is killing me.
I'm fully caught up.
Yes,
does HBO have, like, a rule that you have to have very explicit sex scenes? Like, because I'm, like, sometimes I'm not prepared. I'm just, like, clutching my pearls.
It was
a
lot. This last one was a lot with those two girls.
A lot.
It was a lot, to say the least.
What I love about Issa is she is this beautiful, woman. She's like low, like I feel like now her beauty's really blossomed, but it's like she's like low key beautiful.
Right. She downplays it.
She downplays
it. I'm like,
you're
not fooling us.
Exactly. But I love the innovation. Like with her own natural hair, she always has a different style. Mm-hmm. She's always doing something
Felicia
beautiful.
Leatherwood. She's amazing.
Oh, is she her hairstylist?
Yeah, I think she does pretty much all of, I mean, most if not all of her styling.
Felicia.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Oh, am I even in it?
Yeah, I know, right? Okay.
Weird curl back there.
So one of the things I love about Issa is that she does so many different like natural hairstyles, and I feel like makes it look this high glamour fashion statement.
Right.
And I wish actually more women went natural on the red carpet because you don't see it that often. There's like Lupita, Janelle Monáe,
right?
Not many others.
I'm trying to think. Oh gosh, that's really hard. I mean, I feel like some people do sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Like when Viola Davis went natural,
that was
like a moment.
Oh my gosh, I love that look on her.
I know.
It was
like the best that she
And
looked.
The color.
Yes.
It was so good.
It was really good.
But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, of course, like Solange. But
of course.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, it is rare. I wish it was more.
Let's talk about, do you want to start with the natural products that you love or... Or not natural products, just the beauty products that you love, or do you want to start with, like, the beauty trends that you think just need to die? Do we want to start positive or negative?
Oh, gosh. I guess we could start negative and then end on a positive.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So, what are the beauty trends that you think just need to go away forever?
Oh, man. Just the, like, super over-the-top makeup.
Yes. Yeah,
and I don't know if that's, like, the Kardashian vibes or, like, whatever. I mean, clearly I'm more inclined to natural look, like, but I love makeup. Like, I'm a girly girl. I'm always playing makeup.
Yes.
I love eyeliner and all the different things. But I also feel like I want to see people's skin.
Yes.
You know, like, it's okay to have a couple of,
you
know,
you don't
marks
need to be
and
contoured.
Things. Yeah,
and
the contouring.
I know. It's really
And then,
insane.
Like, the brows with, like, the shade of fading in.
The, like,
and,
like gradient eyebrow.
Right?
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Like, no, don't do it.
You know what? I think that this is a trend that is really on its way out because I think all of the like influencers and tastemakers have come out so vehemently against this that I think it's just a matter of time until it
I hope so.
Trickles down.
I hope so.
Any other trends that you really don't like?
I mean, I guess this is along the same lines, but just the fact that you can. I mean, here's the Kardashian again. Oh no, she's a Jenner. The fact that you can buy lips and buy a new face and then like, be the face of beauty.
Yes. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's the same kind of in a way for the first one, but it's just like, oh gosh, like, do you guys know what you're like?
Right.
Do you know by purchasing this what you're supporting?
Yes. It's like you get all of these. It would be one thing if Kylie was the face of cosmetic surgery. That would make sense. But yeah, it's like you do all of these like cosmetic enhancements and then you sell makeup.
To look exotic.
Right.
And then you sell makeup and you do really, really well. And it's
they kill it.
You know, and it's like you put our lips on your face. You know what I mean? In essence.
Yeah.
And it's just very insulting, I feel. Like, I feel insulted by what they do. So
you're like, I am triggered
I
by
mean, perhaps if
video.
They didn't use black men as, like a, it's a new dog in the little handbag. That's a long one.
Yes. There was basically a BuzzFeed article about why Black China is actually kind of amazing because she is a Black woman. She will be the first Black woman to directly profit from the Kardashians. Like, she's having the only Kardashian. Like, no, they. She has the only. Her son's last name is Kardashian. The rest of them won't like, carry on that name. And as messy as Black China is, she is a Black woman. Like, they have profited off of Blackness their entire career.
Right.
So now to see a Black woman profit off of the Kardashians is kind of like a full circle karmic moment, like
just foolery.
I know, but at least she's cashing in some
way. It definitely feels good in
some
strange way. I don't know how much I would want to carry on the Kardashian name.
Right.
That's another story.
Right. But if it will get her paid, then you know, at least there's like at least one Black person in all of this that's like benefiting because they just continue to like use blackness to seem cool and relevant, right, without ever wanting to stand up for...
I just worry about the babies, all the babies involved. I'm just like, these poor babies just being...
They don't have a chance. I know.
Like,
I know. But I'm sure they're loved and...
Hopefully.
Yes.
None of my business.
I know.
It's none of my business, I guess.
Any other beauty trends that you really don't like?
Other beauty trends.
Well, this is not necessarily a beauty trend, but it's something that you and I talked about when we first met. Just hashtag black girl magic.
Yes.
Like, I don't need...
It irks me.
I don't need it anymore. I think we talked about this. Like, it had its moment. Maybe,
yeah,
like 2 years ago.
Right.
A year ago,
like,
it was still acceptable, I feel like.
You know, if people use the black girl magic hashtag, do your thing. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's like that nice little, you know, sums it up at the end kind of thing.
Yes.
But I think it just has become like an easy way for people who have no understanding of our culture,
yes,
to join into a conversation,
yes,
or sell us things or whatever.
Yes.
But without really,
yes,
understanding what that means or why it's so important to us. Or,
yes,
I don't know. It just makes it easy to just put black girl magic in the title of something. And then,
yes,
it's like,
when journalists use,
yeah,
it feels so lazy.
It does feel lazy.
When people marketing products to us use it feels so lazy. It's just, it's not, I think it can be retired.
Right. Like, as part of our style guide, like, especially with the blog and,
yeah,
stuff, I'm like,
no,
no
black
girl magic.
No on,
like,
Fleek.
You know, oh gosh, the On Fleek, the Slay, this.
Oh my gosh.
You know.
This is going to be the episode title. I'm going to be like, Lindsay is slaying black girl magic
slaying
on Fleek.
Oh. Like, what did I saw a cover, it's on newsstands now, I don't know,
oh,
some
God
magazine, but it was just like, slaying the confidence game, and it was like, some mainstream magazine, I'm just like, who talks like this? You know
no
what
one
I mean? No one talks like this.
Yeah.
And by the time it's like that, I'm kind of done. Like,
yeah,
I was
true
never really saying slay, because it sounds, I don't know, it makes me feel like I'm old if I say that. Like, dude, I don't feel like the kids really say slay.
Yeah.
By the time we would say it, I feel like it's old.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
So, yeah, slightly unrelated,
yes,
to beauty, but I'll definitely say I could retire the black girl magic. But not the black girl magic is here.
Exactly.
But we don't need to call it out in such a way. Like,
in,
we already know.
Yes.
It's been here since we've been here.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Very well
so
said. Okay, tell me about the products or beauty trends that you really love.
Mm. And beauty trends I love. I just love that people are just creating. Like,
yes,
that's the one really, really cool thing, is just people are like, I want to have a non-toxic nail polish, and they're,
yes,
just making it.
And they
it
make it, yeah.
Or I want, you know, this product to do XYZ, and they're creating it, and
yeah,
I think that's really beautiful. Or even, you know, beyond products, but just, you know, we've talked about various,
yeah,
ventures,
yeah,
and things and,
yeah,
ideas and podcasts and,
yeah,
you know, all of the ways that we're really just sharing our thoughts, our opinions,
yeah,
shaping culture.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, it's truly shaping the way brands are responding to,
yeah,
us, the way industries are behaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And beyond just like, oh, beauty, it's like, I mean, every woman, to me, should be able to walk in and find a shade of makeup. Like, it shouldn't,
yeah,
you shouldn't get a pat on your back for being inclusive.
Yes.
Like,
that should be the
we
bare
are
minimum
all colors of the rainbow, and there,
yeah,
should be all,
yeah,
things available. Like,
yes,
it should just be a thing. So,
yeah,
I mean, as much as that irks me that people use that as like a sales tool, I'm very happy that,
yeah,
we're seeing more options. Like, I remember, you know, decades ago at this point, my mom searching for colors, and like, even my skin tone. You
right
know, I'm lighter, but I'm yellow.
Right.
There's not,
it's
like,
hard
color
to find,
you know,
something. Yeah, no,
and
absolutely.
So, it's just like, this has been a complaint for so long before,
yeah,
I even wore any makeup.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
So
definitely.
It's just like, come on. But
yes,
I'm really happy that it's,
yes,
happening.
Yes.
And that we're carving out our,
yes,
stake
creating for
all
ourselves. Yes.
Beyond, you know, beyond just being like, oh, okay, you know, this brand has it, so I can buy it now.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, no, we should own it.
Yes.
We,
yes,
should be serving ourselves.
Yes.
You know.
And I think that we are the first generation of consumers to be as mindful as we are as about the creators and who,
yeah,
are they and what's their story and how,
well,
did they come to this product. Yeah.
Yeah, things are so transparent now,
yes,
too.
Yes.
And then with social media, there's less barrier to entry.
Yes.
You know, like, my mom could have, you know, she had a zillion side hustles.
Yeah.
She could have thought to create something, but
right,
it's like, there wasn't a Squarespace where you could just load up a website really fast, or Instagram, where you could just, you know.
Right.
So all of those tools, I feel like, have empowered this generation to really be like.
That's true. It's a great time, I feel like, to be a creator, to be a Black woman, to be. It's 2017 is tough. As tough as times are right now, and as tough as the year has been and continues to be, there's also something really beautiful happening that just makes me feel like lucky to even be alive.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it's like, you know, I'm always careful not to, you know, because it's like there are very new things that are happening, but there's also legacy and,
you know, we didn't invent everything.
Right. But, all of these things that we're building upon. Michaela Angela Davis is. She's just so eloquent in speaking on that subject matter of just, like, lending her platform and, you know, other women lending their platforms and really pouring into the people who are coming up behind them so that we're not just out here, like, reinventing the wheel blindly. But, you know,
building
like,
building our legacy.
Yeah, there's so much groundwork has been laid. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way.
You know, day to day.
But
no, but there absolutely there has been. Any other beauty trends or products that you absolutely love?
I actually have some.
I love when my guests bring.
So this is a new brand of a friend, a new friend actually too. Hana Hana Beauty, and it's a shea balm.
Yeah, show it. Shea balm. Okay.
And
I love this.
She has a bunch
natural.
Of shea products. She just went. She's from, or she's Ghanaian, and she just got back from Ghana.
Oh, amazing.
And like went through the whole process of like seeing all of the everything being sourced and all the women who are creating it.
That's amazing.
And I think we may have some of the behind the scenes on the blog soon because I
amazing.
She was sending it to me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. We have to share it.
Natural the products are. It's shea butter, cocoa butter, honey, beeswax.
And it feels so good.
Peppermint
like, this is
oil.
What I have on right now. And usually I'm just like, I just got it a few weeks ago when she was in town, but
amazing.
She did a little pop-up, but it just feels so good.
Yeah.
And you know how sometimes you put stuff on
and
then
it's sticky
afterwards
it dries,
it's dry.
Your lips,
like I don't have to like constantly like reapply, and it tastes good too, which is
amazing. Okay. I'll link to that in the show notes. I always like link to the products
people. Is a big one.
Anything else that you absolutely love?
I'm loving that there. I mentioned it before, the non-toxic nail polish, because I love nails.
Yes, five free nail polish. I use Ella and Mila.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, which one do you use?
I've used Misho Beauty. I might be pronouncing it wrong. M-I-S-C-H-O.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah, I know it.
And then, actually, just this weekend, I'm wearing it.
Yeah, you have beautiful nails.
Thank you, girl.
You don't do them yourself, do you?
These I did myself.
I don't know how to do my nails.
Really?
That's sad.
Aww.
I don't know. It takes too much.
I'm like entrepreneur life. I'm like, I'm in here figuring it out.
So nice.
Thank you. They're usually really short. I'm always biting my nails, but I was like, I'm just like, you need to have presentable nails.
I know. It's hard. It's a very difficult habit to break. I was a nail biter for years.
Yeah. But I found keeping them polished all the time.
Yes.
Helps.
Yes.
Like, if they look nice, then I'm like, I don't want to mess it up, you know?
Because then you're like...
It's more conscious. Because if they're bare, it's, like, less conscious, and I just, like, I get stressed out and I bite them.
Yes, that's a great tip, actually. Like, if you want to stop biting your nails, just keep them polished all the time.
Yeah, and then now that they're long, I'm like, oh.
They're so pretty.
They're never this long. This is kind of cool. I feel like a grown-up.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about how, like, I always change my hair. I have a different hairstyle, like, literally once a month. I'm, like, going to do something totally different. I actually am envious of people that don't change it up so often because it feels like you kind of create a signature look for yourself. Like, every time you see Lindsay, you know what you're going to get. Like, it's, you know, it becomes, like, your signature.
I mean, now that I have a better hairstylist, a great hairstylist, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really feel like it's laziness.
No,
I mean, I could probably seek out, like, different styles more often. I don't know. I just kind of... I tend to be very, like, low.
Maintenance.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just, like, this is the shortest my hair has been. I feel like I'm going to go shorter because it's, like, even faster to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I'm just really starting to enjoy, I had those years of like spending hours straightening it and like keep, you know, I'm sweating and I'm trying to keep my edges from, all of that, that I like now just, I kind
life's
of embrace
too short.
The not having to do that. And like, you know, you're like sweating it out as you're straightening it. And then you don't work out for
of course,
because
you don't want to ruin your time investment that you've spent getting your hair straight. I mean, that's why I love having natural hair. It's an amazing experience, but the time that it takes to care for natural hair
in the shop, I think I was actually traumatized by the time you would have to sit in the shop, you know?
Oh my God. But even if you're doing your natural hair at home, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
When people tell me like they're going natural because they're like sick of spending time on their hair, I'm like, oh,
don't
no.
do it for that. Right. Right.
It's about to be a lot more time detangling, you know,
twisting.
And you can't just go to bed. At least I can't when I'm wearing my hair. So for me, like crochet braids, which I just discovered this summer, have been like such a blessing because it means that I can actually take like what I call a hair vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Like just a break from having to do my hair every single day. And especially when you're on vacation, it's
for
so nice to be able to just like wake up and not think about it.
Yeah.
And how the humidity is going to affect your curl pattern. And,
right.
But then I've also been thinking about, because I have like a tapered cut that's pretty short, I'm thinking about maybe if I grow it out to a place where I can at least do a low bun.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's less pressure, because when your hair is shorter than like low bun length, you have to be, the weather's got
to
be right.
It has
the products
to be,
have to be
right.
Right.
Like even when it, because when I first cut it was a little bit shorter and there was no ponytail.
Yeah.
It was like,
and when you don't have that
like,
fallback,
oh gosh,
when you don't have that ponytail fallback, you're like.
There were a few days that were very rough.
Yes.
Very like, ooh.
I know.
You know, cause, like the humidity, like you said,
exactly.
It's New York crazy humidity.
Yeah.
And then it's like. You know, I'll look in the mirror and you're just like, oh
yeah.
my gosh.
You're like
completely different
when
than when I
left.
The house.
Yes, when I left, it was looking so
right.
good. And now I just caught my reflection
and
what
and
has
it's
happened.
It's just all bad. Yeah.
I know. But that's also the fun and the highs and the lows.
Right. I mean, it's part of the experience for sure. But it's just another reason you can't be team natural police because it's
exactly.
like everybody has various concerns
yeah.
and, you know, works in different environments
yeah.
and, you know, like I was speaking to someone, she's a newscaster.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, well, my hair, you know, sometimes I'll get that like, oh, well, my hair's not natural. And I'm
yeah.
like, girl.
Do what
do
you need
you.
To do.
I mean, I hope we have natural
yeah.
hair newscasters
mm-hmm.
soon.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen any. But
that's
I also understand that
yeah.
this is a career choice. Like,
sure.
That is not
necessary. Isn't Oprah natural?
I'm not sure. I've heard that she...
Yeah, but I mean, it's always straight anyway, but yeah.
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 But yeah, like, you know, there's just all of these things
yeah.
and parts of just existing.
Totally.
That are like.
People have to do what works
yeah,
for them.
Right. I mean, nobody can. Yeah.
Yes. And even if you have a weave literally down to the floor, it doesn't mean that you don't love yourself, that you,
right.
you know, like, I think there's a lot of that going on too with people.
Right. I mean, I think
things.
Hair should be fun. It's never.
Yes.
been allowed to be fun for us.
Yes.
But I feel like it
would... Wow,
it,
thank you for saying that. That's so true.
Like, why, just put on a weave if you want to go.
Exactly.
You know, if you feel like you want to swing.
Yeah.
And like,
exactly.
Like, I don't know. I don't think it should be... Of course, there are reasons it's taken so seriously, but I think
mm-hmm.
part of us being able to take it back and to
mm-hmm.
give others
yes.
less power is to be able to do what makes us feel great.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I hear that 100%.
I feel like, was it Erykah Badu? She said something to the effect of... Like, I'd rather you have have processed hair and an unprocessed mind than a processed mind and unprocessed hair.
Wow.
So,
deep.
You know, leave it to her to just
leave
drop
it to Miss
Badu.
Oh, my
right.
God. That's amazing. Because
it's like, she's so iconic, and she has always experimented and done all these things.
Yes.
What we're going to say she's not natural.
Right.
Like, what are you even saying? It
I
doesn't
know.
Make any sense.
It is. That is crazy. I have my final question for you. It's a question that I ask every single guest. I'm very curious for your answer.
Mm.
When do you feel the most beautiful?
Oh, man. That's such a hard question, Matt.
Everyone says that, by the way. Don't feel... Everyone's like, whoa.
Oh, when do you feel the most beautiful? Hmm. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'm trying to think
what,
of a time.
So,
like,
what's interesting is... responses have varied to like when my face is fully beat and my hair is done and I have on high heels to when I've just left a workout and I'm sweating and I like go home and shower and I put coconut oil on after the show. Like the responses
right.
range so much, but like everyone has that, like, moment, that vibe where they feel their most beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I've found over the years, like, I've definitely gone through the phases of just doing, you know, the push-ups and the this and the that, yeah, you know, all that stuff. But I think I feel most beautiful when I feel comfortable.
Yes.
Like, I've gone from, like, wanting to look, like, in the perfect outfit with mm-hmm. the thing to, like, do I like when I sit down in it? Do I feel
yes.
good? Like,
yeah.
is there a bulge? Is it going to make me feel insecure? You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, those
yeah.
things. Like, I'm not so much into, like, trying new hairstyles or trying new
yeah.
makeup or lashes
yeah.
or crazy stuff
yeah.
unnecessarily. I think when I feel like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, with a little bit of me
yes.
with
yeah.
a little bit of extra.
Yes,
oomph.
Yes. yes.
like,
yes.
I'm definitely into makeup. I definitely like a little brow and some,
yeah. Yeah.
some eyeliner and mascara and nice lip pop. But I think, you know, that with like a nice, just an outfit that I feel like me in.
Yes.
Usually flowing.
In.
It's usually soft fabric.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of like either a jumpsuit
oh,
situation
I
or
love
like
a, good
a dress that just goes
yes.
on and I can just put some earrings on. Like,
yes,
that's
like a nice
when
summer
I feel.
Dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a sundress or whatever.
Flats.
I love flats
yeah.
in New York for sure.
Yeah.
I was a heel girl. I love heels.
Yeah.
I love how they look.
They're
fly,
so painful. They
but
hurt.
Here.
Yeah.
No.
Not if you want to really
so
have
much.
Fun. Like, if you really want to, like, enjoy yourself,
yeah.
it's hard.
Because it's just, like, I don't want to be the my feet hurt girl.
I know.
Like, oh, my feet hurt.
Yeah. And you can
but
pretend like you're not that girl, but, like,
right.
if you got heels, like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And someone told me when I first moved to New York, like, if your feet hurt even a little bit when you're leaving the house, it's only going to get worse. So just
only
don't
downhill.
Even try it.
Yeah.
So at least, at the very least, take flats and switch.
Yes. Okay. I love that answer. I love it. So thank you so much for coming to do the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people like stay in touch? Obviously, Crown Magazine, like you guys are on all the social platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
should get a copy of the magazine. Because I think personally, it will be a collector's item. I think it's something that people should save. I'm certainly saving my copy. Yeah, I think it's like it's an important, like, you know, historical artifact of our times.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's the only thing of its kind, right?
Mm.
There's, I mean, I'm sure there are people out there creating images similar-ish, but not to the degree and, like, the level of care and thoughtfulness that you and your team have put into Crown. So
well, thank you.
I would
really,
encourage
really
everyone to get
that.
A copy. And then
but
where
yeah.
can people...
keep in touch. You can go to crownmag.com and sign up for our emails. It's
yes.
CRWN.
Yes, I'll put
M-A-G.
All of the links in
oh,
the
yeah.
show notes as well. No, but yes, tell
no
me.
O, because everyone, I'll say it. No,
oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
It comes to mind first. Crownmag.com/shop. You can order or pre-order future issues.
Oh, amazing.
And then, yeah, we're at CrownMag on
everything.
Twitter, Pinterest,
yeah.
Instagram,
amazing.
Facebook, all of the
amazing.
Above.
Well, thank you, Lindsay.
Thank
I look
you.
Forward to continuing the discussion. You'll have to
yes.
come back, and I feel like we could have talked for another,
I know.
Another hour. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.